We're working on a couple of technical difficulties on my end, but we'll be getting started shortly. All right, good morning, everybody. We're going to give it till 10:10. We still have people that are joining the call. So that in about two more minutes, and I'm getting some info that there's still no audio. We haven't started yet. You might have seen me talking. That was because Bernard just jokingly told me 420 people joined without problems, but I had trouble joining. So we'll just give it about one more minute, and then we will get started. All right, so it's 10:10. So we will go ahead and get started. Thanks to all of you for joining our webinar today, so that we can provide you guys with some information about the rate increases that are in place for our OCDD home and community-based waivers. We've received a lot of questions so far in writing. I hope that most of the questions that we have will be explained in our presentation, but we'll still go through just to make sure that we clarified everything. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Several of you did send in questions ahead of time to our OCDDinfo@LA.gov email address. Because of the number of participants, we're not going to be able to open the lines to questions for this particular webinar, but you are still able, if you have questions after the presentation, you can still send them in to OCDDinfo@LA.gov. And we will make sure that we get a response to you. And we'll also be collecting frequently asked questions that we will publish on our OCDD website about this. There is a Q&A box that is also, for those of you who were able to join by computer, there is a Q&A box and you are able to enter questions there. I will encourage folks, you know, we've already got one question in there and that'll be discussed during the presentation. So, you know, you can feel free to enter them in there, but hopefully we will answer them during the presentation. So you may want to hold off on the entering them into the Q&A until we get to the conclusion of the presentation. Then if you still have questions, please do submit them there. We do have a couple of people who are saying that they can't hear anything. And others saying that they do have audio. So, Bernard, do you have any suggestions or things that we could potentially type in for those who are saying that they cannot hear?
Unfortunately, no. Only thing I have right now, because I've seen a lot of people that can hear, it may be on their end. So maybe check their computer speakers, or try to use the dial-in number that also came with it and try to call in.
And we did have a question about whether or not we would record it. And I see that someone is typing in to that we will. We've had some technical difficulties with recording. We are trying to record it, and we will attempt to put it on our website. But we have had some difficulty in making that happen if we don't do it through YouTube. And because we had to schedule this pretty quickly, once we saw that there was a lot of questions, we wanted to schedule the webinar. We were not able to connect to the YouTube. So we will try to record and publish it. But I made that promise once before, and then we were not able to make that happen due to some technology issues. So we will try to do that. Okay. Yes. And there is the good. Thanks to those folks, because I'm saying this, but if you can't hear me, then you don't know that there are folks that are saying you could potentially dial in to be able to hear. So hopefully folks will be able to see that. And let me turn my volume up just to make sure I'm as loud as possible on my end. Okay. So thanks again for joining us. And to talk about this very important issue of rate increases for our home and community-based waiver services. So want to start off by giving you guys a little bit of background about where the funding came from, and some of the, very briefly, some of the meetings that have happened related to this. Right off the bat, I do want to recognize that we do have traditional provider agencies, support coordinators, our local governing entities, and our families and self-direction all included as on the invite. And I know we have representation from across all the board for those. So thank you all for coming. And I do want to make sure folks are aware that the rate increase does apply to both our traditional provider agencies and to our self-direction employees, and we'll explain more details about that as we go along. So during the 2021 regular legislative session, so our most recent legislative session, the legislature appropriated about $16.3 million to go towards a rate increase. And the money for this rate increase came from what's called our New Opportunities Waiver Fund. And so they, when you take that $16.3 million from the New Opportunities Waiver Fund, you then add federal match dollars to it. And so that is where we get to our approximately $53 million appropriation. And the language that the legislature used is that they were giving this rate increase to help address the workforce crisis in our OCDD home and community-based waiver services, which does include our Children's Choice Waiver, our Supports Waiver, our Residential Options Waiver, and the New Opportunities Waiver. When you use funds out of that New Opportunities Waiver Fund, it can only be used for OCDD home and community-based waiver services. So the funding from that cannot go to intermediate care facilities. It cannot be used for our waivers in the Office of Aging and Adult Onset, our Community Choices Waiver, or Long-Term Personal Care. When money comes out of that NOW fund, it can only be used for our four OCDD waivers. It used to only be able to be used for the New Opportunities Waiver, so that therefore the name New Opportunities Waiver Fund, but they did modify state law a few years back now, so that it can be used in any of our four home and community-based waivers. So after the legislative session closed in 2021, we had several meetings with legislators and with stakeholders so that we could discuss how the money would be given to providers and then how the department would ensure that the funds were spent appropriately. There are committees called the Joint Medicaid Oversight Committee and the Joint Legislative Committee on Budget. Those are all streamed through the legislative website, which is legis.la.gov, if any of you are interested in seeing any of those. There are archived videos of those, and there has been a lot of discussion during those meetings and a lot of testimony given about how the funds should be used, and as I said, how the department would ensure that the funds were used appropriately. And many legislators testified that the rate increase should go directly to the direct support worker. But there was also an understanding that there are some associated costs to the provider that go along with that rate increase. And so as a result, we had the emergency rule that was published that sets the minimum direct care wage floor of $9 per hour. And the rate increase will then help providers be able to meet the floor. Again, the funding for this comes from the New Opportunities Waiver Fund. So we've had a lot of questions about why we say that it is a temporary rate increase. And the reason that we use the word temporary rate increase is because the funding comes from that New Opportunities Waiver Fund. And so the rate increase would only be in place as long as there is funding in that New Opportunities Waiver Fund to cover the cost. We are looking, LDH is looking for longer term mechanisms so that we put this money in what we call our base budget. And that means that we would then have the state general fund dollars that we need in our Medicaid budget to continue this long term. And once that is done, the rate increase would no longer be considered temporary, and it would remain in place unless there are budget reductions made. So we do know that, and we have had a commitment from our undersecretary in the department, Ruth Johnson, to ask for the funding for this to be in our base Medicaid budget. In order for that to happen, we will have to have the okay from the commissioner to include it in the governor and the governor to include it in the governor's executive budget. And then we will have to go through the legislative process to be able to continue it beyond this fiscal year. So there are funds available for this rate increase to be in effect from October 1st through June 30th of 2022. And then we will be asking during the executive budget or other looking for other means to be able to continue this rate increase for beyond that period of time so that it does become longer term and not just for this fiscal year. And we will have to look at all funding mechanisms to be able to make that happen. So to clarify, all of the funds have been accounted for this state fiscal year, meaning that the $16 million that was appropriated will be used for a rate increase for all of the identified services on the memo that you guys received. So we have had some question about whether or not other services should be included in the rate increase, but we do not have any additional funding. So we were appropriated that $53 million. And based on that, we looked at all of the services that we typically include as a part of what we call direct services, or those services provided by a direct support worker. And we came up with the $2.50 based on the total amount that we had allocated. Any additional services, we don't have additional funding for. So the full $16 million out of the NOW fund will be spent this year on the services that we have identified. And so some folks have asked where the $9 per hour wage floor came from. So I'll try to explain that. I am someone who doesn't do math well, so I've had to have people explain this to me. So I'm trying to explain it for those of you guys who might be like me and don't get math all that great. But the $9 an hour was derived because we do have, once we determined that with the $53 million total dollars we have, we could afford to give a $2.50 per hour, or what equates to a $2.50 per hour rate increase. We looked at what is 70% of the $2.50, because during legislative testimony, there was a request that at least 70% of the funds go directly to the direct support worker. So if you take 70% of that $2.50, that's $1.75 per hour. And if you take $1.75 and add it to current minimum wage, which is $7.25, that $7.25 plus the $1.75, which is 70% of the $2.50, comes to $9 an hour. So that is how we set that $9 an hour. And then there is the understanding that the other 30% of that $2.50 could then be used for what we call associated cost to the provider related to that rate increase. There's also associated cost if you're in self-direction through the fiscal intermediary that the fiscal intermediary then would need to consider as well. So those other associated costs are a variety of things and depend on the situation. But we do know that there are other associated costs. So that is why there was that 30% allowance for those associated costs. We also know that OCDD is going to have to go back to Joint Medicaid Oversight Committee, as well as Joint Legislative Committee on the budget. And we will have to testify during upcoming committee meetings about the rate increase, about how things are going, what information we gather, and be able to testify and let them know how things are going. They've asked that we return and provide that information. So where does that lead us now? Where that leaves us now is that based on the current rule and the information and the rate information that we have available, that effective October 1st, all services that are provided by a direct support worker in the four OCDD waivers, Children's Choice, Supports Waiver, Residential Options, and New Opportunities Waiver, all services that are provided by a direct support worker and those that are included on the Excel spreadsheet that all of you should have received with the memo will have an increase, and the value of the hourly increase will equate to $2.50 per hour rate increase. We say that because when you look at the services that are included, some of those services are billed in a 15-minute unit. So the rate increase is based on the 15-minute unit, not the hour. Some of them are per diem services. Some of our vocational and day habilitation services that are included are per diem. And so when you look at it, it equates to the $2.50 per hour rate increase. I do see some folks are saying they didn't get the spreadsheet, so we will make sure it may already have been done, but I'll make sure with my staff that we have the memo as well as the Excel spreadsheet on our OCDD website by the end of the day today. Again, the spreadsheet will show you which services are included. In general, it's the services provided in-home by a frontline direct support worker and employment and day program services that are provided by your frontline direct support workers. Those are the ones that we typically have included as our direct support services. And again, along with the rate increase, and because the rate increase will begin October 1st, there is an expectation that all workers will be paid a minimum of $9 per hour beginning October 1st when the new rates are available. We do understand that the rate increase will affect the expenditure caps that are in place for Children's Choice Waiver and the Residential Options Waiver. So we have increased the caps. The budget caps have been increased for both of these waivers, and the dollar amounts of those are included in the memo. So we did get some questions because we added the increase in the expenditure caps just for Children's Choice and Residential Options Waiver. Those similar caps are not in place in the New Opportunities Waiver or Supports Waiver. So that's why they didn't have a table in the same way that the Children's Choice and the ROW did that explained how those expenditure caps are increasing. So for traditional providers, beginning October 1st, you should bill at the higher rate that is included in the spreadsheet. We are working to make sure that we have the billing software updated with the hopes that you will immediately be reimbursed. However, if there is any delay, you will receive a retroactive payment for the full amount once the update is completed, which will not be an extended period of time. And you are still required to pay the minimum direct care wage floor of $9 per hour effective October 1st because you will receive reimbursement for that increase. For folks that are in self-direction, do know that Acumen and Morning Sun, if there are any workers in self-direction that are being paid below the $9 per hour rate of pay, then Acumen and Morning Sun will be automatically increasing the rate of pay for those workers to $9 per hour to be able to meet the floor. If you would like to give your workers an increase, if they are at the max, or if you want to adjust and give them a higher rate, then you need to reach out to your fiscal intermediary, Morning Sun or Acumen, and talk with them. They will share with you the appropriate paperwork that needs to be completed, what needs to be done. They can tell you what that maximum amount that you're able to increase to is, you know, based on the other associated costs that have to come out. So again, you will be, for those that are in self-direction, you will be in compliance because the fiscal intermediary will ensure that we bump those, anyone who's not making $9 an hour up. And if you want to then reimburse your worker at a higher rate, reach out to them so that the appropriate paperwork can be completed through their normal process for providing an increase in the rate of pay for those workers. Also want to share that there is a requirement that we conduct an audit to ensure compliance with the direct care wage floor. So OCDD will be establishing processes for this audit, and we will share the details with all of our provider agencies once we have that process completed. At a minimum, OCDD is going to be requesting payroll records from before the rate increase and after the rate increase period so that we can complete a comparison of the rates and to ensure that the rate of pay for all direct support workers is the minimum of $9 per hour. The specific requirement is that the provider increase the pay for workers to $9 an hour. And this is specifically what will be subject to fines and penalties if the providers do not meet this minimum. We have had some questions. If you're already paying $9, what are the expectations? This is not a wage pass-through as we have done in the past. It is setting of a minimum pay range for the direct support workers of $9 an hour. So it is at the discretion of the provider in terms of how those additional monies will be spent. However, I do want to make sure that everyone understands that it was clearly stated during the legislative process that the legislators believed that the funding received should go directly to the direct support workers. And we're strongly encouraging provider agencies to consider we do understand that there may be impacts related to overtime. The traditional provider agencies to consider all options for how to ensure that the additional funding can benefit and go to the direct support worker. We also strongly encourage all of our provider agencies to maintain financial information and records regarding how the additional funds from the rate increase are used. And again, this is if we get any questions from the legislators as we go through the committees about how the funds are used, information that you have about how the funds are spent will help us be able to respond to the legislators about that funding. And so now we will review the questions that we received. Hopefully this helps make it clear, but we'll go through the questions that we received prior to the webinar and respond to those so we can make sure that we directly respond to those. I do see some folks putting questions into the chat and into the Q&A, and we will consolidate those questions and provide answers. You can, if you do have questions, on back, we will put all of these questions into a frequently asked question and answer and include them on our OCDD website. All right, so going through the questions now, oh, and I'm sorry, that you may also continue to email those questions to ocddinfo@la.gov. If you send them directly to that email, then we will have your email and be able to respond back to you, to your email with the answer to the question. Okay. Oh, and Bernard is saying, please use the Q&A feature to ask the questions instead of the chat. That will help us make sure that we have them all documented. So the first question, is there a document with a breakdown of the rate for each service? If so, can it be sent out to providers? All of the providers should have received it. We typically send all of our memos and communications out through LASERS or LASERS with SRI. And so whoever receives that information for the provider agencies, please have them check. I've also shared the document with some of our stakeholder groups. But as I stated earlier, we will make sure we put that on our OCDD webpage so that everyone has access to it, to that information. Will the rates increase automatically through SRI? The answer to that is no. And I'm going to read the next question too. Will SRI automatically adjust the rates in LASERS? And that's kind of part one. So again, the Excel spreadsheet shows what the new billing rate is and what you should bill for. SRI does have the ability to bill that higher rate in the billing system beginning October 1st, but the providers, it is still the responsibility of the provider agencies to begin billing that higher rate in order to get the higher reimbursement. And you should bill the higher rate for services beginning midnight, October 1st, 2021. There was also a question asking if SRI will automatically adjust the budgets for all plans of care already submitted in LASERS. And the budgets in the comprehensive plans of care will be adjusted. However, if there are any questions about that, you want to clear it, make sure of that, about a person's individual situation, then you can reach out to your support coordinator to verify and make sure that that is in place. But they will be adjusted in the system. The next question, will this increase disbursements in general made to the agency? Again, the rate increase applies to all of the services that are included on that spreadsheet. And providers will be paid through the normal billing process at the higher rate once the higher rate is billed. And so that question may have been last October, we did do a supplemental payment to traditional provider agencies where it was a one-time payout this is not being processed in that manner. It is an actual rate increase, again, based on that spreadsheet. And so you'll need to bill for services provided beginning midnight October 1st using that new rate. Will this increase our quarterly units? No. The rule will increase the rate on the identified services paid in the quarterly hour units, but it will not have an impact to the units themselves. The next question asks for clarification on how much will be the new pay increase per hour. So in general, there is a $2.50 per hour rate increase, and the rule requires a minimum of $9 per hour be paid to the all direct support workers. The number of hours and how much money is given to the workers above the minimum are decisions that are left to the providers. The next question, if an employee is currently making $14 an hour, how much can the hourly be increased by? That is up to the provider or the self-direction employer. For those in self-direction, the maximum amount that can be paid to staff in self-direction, please contact Acumen or Morning Sun and they can work with you through that process of how you increase and how much you can increase for your workers. If a provider already pays a minimum of $9 per hour, can they use the $2.50 rate increase to increase wages? The discussion during the legislative session, that would be what would be encouraged, that we look at least a large portion of the money going directly to the direct support worker. Okay. Bernard, I'm doing a check-in because I'm seeing some info saying that I'm freezing up. Is that?
Yeah, you are freezing on some of your responses.
All right.
I'm coming.
There are 20.
Did it do it through the whole thing or just now?
Including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press *#. Your connection is now in listen-only mode.
Good to go now. You can talk.
All right.
Hello, this is a check to just to see if folks can hear me now. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Julie, you might want to repeat the last question.
Yeah, that's what it looks like folks are asking. Okay. So okay, so if a provider already pays a minimum of $9 per hour, can they use the $2.50 rate increase to increase wages above the $9 per hour floor? The simple answer to that is yes. I think I went on to say that during the legislative session, the legislators did ask that the money, you know, go to the direct support workers to help with recruitment and retention and retaining qualified staff. And so we do understand that might be through a wage floor. There might be other mechanisms to get it to the direct support staff. But yes, absolutely, the additional funds that are available through the rate increase can be used to increase wages above the $9 per hour. What we will be auditing for is the $9 per hour floor. And so the next few questions, I'm assuming the next, we received three or four, five questions that are related to transportation and SIL. And there is questions about, please explain the purpose of SIL visit if it's not considered to be a direct service. What is the definition of a direct service? Does this relate to its value to the individual or its need to support the individual? Does quality matter or does it have any value? And then there were also questions about transportation as a direct service. It should have been included in the rate and the floor placed at $850. Please explain the expectation of providers with ensuring individuals are transported from one destination to another. If it's not a direct service, is it a needed service or is it optional? So we traditionally have a set of services that we consider to be direct support services. All of those are included on the spreadsheet that you guys received. And historically, in the past, SIL and transportation, for a variety of reasons, were not included as part of that direct support service. We hear the comments and the feedback from you guys, and we can consider that, in the future as we look at direct care services. However, as I mentioned during the summary of information that I provided, we base the $2.50 per hour increase on the $53 million that we had available to us. If we were to add any other services to that mix, that would then reduce the rate that we would be able to increase, and it would not be the full $2.50 per hour. It would be something less than that. And at this point, all of the rules, all of the rate increase, everything has been set. So we would have to start over again if we included those. So we are not able to include them at this time. The expectations for SIL and transportation are what is included in the manual, and it is a little bit different for each of the four waivers. So I encourage folks to, review the waiver application for what the requirements are. If you have any questions specifically, we can answer them about what's included in the waiver application. But at this time, the SIL and the transportation service have not been included, and we are not able to go back and retroactively add them. But again, as we look at changes or things we're able to do in the future, we will take that into consideration. We are always looking for ways to improve quality. We are always in our office looking for ways to help have better outcomes for the people supported. And so I don't want to say that quality was not considered, because we always look to do that in any of our service delivery systems and processes that we put into place. However, for the purposes of this rate increase alone, the consideration for the rate increase was developing what amount of an increase could be available based on the funding present. And the discussions then led to the minimum wage, setting of a minimum, not a minimum wage, but setting of a minimum direct care floor for payment. And so it's not that quality wasn't considered, but during the audit and during the expectations, it doesn't change anything specific to the quality of services. We hope that it will have an indirect impact on that if we are able to have a more consistent direct support workforce, because we do have, additional funds to be able to afford to pay them a higher salary. The next question is, how long will the caregiver be able to continue to work with the individual? And so that doesn't directly relate to the rate increase, but to clarify, we did, through our Appendix K, put in an exception or flexibility to allow family members to be paid caregivers, those family members, we've always been able to have some family members that were paid caregivers, but there were some exclusions. So during COVID, under Appendix K, those exclusions, some of those exclusions were removed to allow family members to be paid caregivers. And that will continue until 6 months after the end of the public health emergency, which we anticipate right now to be somewhere around June of 2022. That very well could be extended. But we are also in the process of amending our waivers, our four home and community-based waivers, to have some allowance for family members to be paid caregivers that are different than what was in place before COVID. And so we are planning to have a webinar, an updated webinar to go through what will happen after the end of the public health emergency, all of the waiver amendments that we're doing. And so we'll get into a lot more detail at a future webinar about those exceptions. And we're trying to get all of that in place and make sure that happens within the next couple of months. But for now, we know that families will continue to be paid caregivers at least into 2022. Does the rate increase apply to DSWs in the sheltered workshop? Those services that are provided in day programs and our employment services are included, and they are part of the spreadsheet. And then another clarification, does this apply to all OCDD services or just Children's Choice Waiver? Again, it is for all of the identified services that are in our four OCDD waivers. So all four of them, not limited to any one or two waivers. The next question, there was a speech given by Secretary Phillips that referred to the rate increase as temporary. There is a concern that the increased amount is not really going to be asked for in next year's budget, and want to know what the thoughts are of LDH. So as I mentioned earlier, I explained why temporary, because it's out of the funding source is the New Opportunities Waiver Fund. And during the next year, so beginning July 1, 2022, we will either have to continue to use the NOW fund if there is funds available, or we will put it in our base budget, or there are some additional dollars tied to some of the emergency funding use. So we are, and Under Secretary Johnson committed to requesting this $2.50 rate increase to continue longer term. And I've heard her on multiple occasions now, as we're starting the process of building our fiscal year 23 budget request. She recalls that she made that statement that we would look for continued funding to support the continuation of this. And we are continuing to look at all avenues, not only to continue it in fiscal year, our next fiscal year, but to make it a part of a longer term strategy. That is what we call in our base budget, so we know that then the expectation is that it would become, for lack of a better word, permanent. But it would not then be temporary in nature once we have a stable state general fund source of revenue to continue to apply that year after year. And so I do know that the department is committed to continuing to look for the appropriate mechanism to fund it on a long-term basis. The next questions we have were in regards to the expenditure cap for Children's Choice and our residential options waiver. So again, in the memo, it describes that those budget, the budget cap, so in Children's Choice and in residential options waiver, you have a certain cap on your budget. And with the rate increase, there is a need then to increase the cap so that you can continue to receive the same amount of services that you were receiving. So the caps have been adjusted to accommodate that, so that no one will have a reduction in the number of hours or the types of services that they receive. And so the budget amounts are there in the memo. You should not have to redo a revision to your comprehensive plan of care because there is no change in the services that you are receiving. However, if you do feel like you need a change in those services or you have any questions, you can reach out to your support coordinator who can make help make sure your individual situation is covered. So there is another question. The cap for the residential options waiver is that only for companion care. Why aren't the caps for the row based on the budget just as the children's choice waiver? So each residential options waiver recipient has an individual cap just as children's choice, and there is no cap on companion care. Another question, there were a couple of questions about overtime and associated costs. So due to the shortage of staff, a lot of overtime is being used. How will this affect the bottom line with the rate increase? And what is the plan to financially support overtime, other direct costs, and indirect costs related to the provision of these services? So you are still required to follow the Fair Labor Standards Act in regards to overtime. We did, I think I saw, I'm not able to read all the questions, but I did see a question about, overtime and the impact. And that was discussed during the legislative session. There did continue to be a request of the department to come up with a way to ensure that the funding was going to the direct support worker. And so that the discussion and where we landed, as I said earlier, is that there is a 30% of the $2.50 is considered for other associated costs that we know come along with the rate increase. And so there is a portion of that rate increase that that is considered to be available to be utilized for those other associated costs. We had another question, do we have to complete a new pay increase? And so if you are a traditional provider agency, yes, you need to make sure that you are verifying that all of your workers are being paid the $9 per hour, effective October the 1st. And if you are in self-direction, as I said earlier, if your worker is making below the $9 an hour, they will automatically be brought up to the $9 an hour. And if you would like to see them paid at a higher rate, then you'll work with Acumen or Morning Sun to be able to identify and complete the appropriate paperwork to be able to make that happen. There is another question, will OCDD require compliance for the wage floor starting on October the 1st? This is a Friday and in the middle of a pay period for most organizations. Providers were also given less than 2 weeks notice of the wage floor requirement with a memo going out on 9/21. Will OCDD consider having October 4th as the beginning compliance date for the wage floor? So we didn't have that allowance in our emergency rule. And so for that reason, compliance, and I guess I should say, part of the reason for the notice being short is because it took us a while to be able to get the ability to be able to start to do it through an emergency rule. And with emergency rules, there's not always the ability to give a lot of prior notice for certain things. If we would have not done it through an emergency rule, then it would have delayed the implementation of us being able to start the rate increase effective October 1st. And so while we do understand there are some challenges, we also were doing all we could to try to make sure that the rate increase, which had to come along with the requirement for the floor and the requirement for the audit, in order to get it on October 1st, we had to do it through the emergency rule, which did not necessarily give an extended amount of time for the compliance. But we are not able to extend that because it's already stated in emergency rule. And to modify that would mean we would have to pull the emergency rule, which would mean we would not be able to do the rate increase starting October 1st. And there will be the ability to bill a higher rate on the first, and so therefore compliance needs to begin on that date. What is the expected timeline to increase the DSP floor to the rate of $9 an hour, midnight of October 1st, 2021? And will the rates be retroactive to the beginning of the fiscal year? And the answer to that is no, because we had to, again, have the requirement of that floor. And so that means that they were not able to start before October 1st. And we're not able to retroactively do that because we couldn't require that $9 per hour floor retroactively, since you didn't, no one would have known that that would have been in place. The next question is, what will this include long-term care? I'm assuming that means long-term care, personal, LTPCS. And so this particular rate increase only includes the four OCDD waivers, new opportunities waiver, residential options waiver, supports waiver, and children's choice waiver. Again, because the funding comes from the new opportunities waiver fund, it can only be used for those OCDD waivers. During the legislative session, the rate increase was also for our intermediate care facilities, as well as our OAAS waivers, our children's community choices waiver and long-term personal care services. However, they recognize that because the source of funding was that new opportunities waiver fund, it can't be used for increases in those areas. However, consideration is being given at the department level for rate increases for those other services, as we know that they're impacted. And again, we're looking for, in the same way I mentioned, we're looking for funding sources to continue this increase long-term. We're also looking for appropriate funding mechanisms to be able to increase some of those, provide increases in some of those other services. And for the Community Choices Waiver, our adult day health care centers, we are in long-term personal care services. We're hopeful that we are close to a resolution there by using some enhanced federal match dollars that we have available. Okay, so moving on to some questions we received that are specific to self-direction. We have a question that the new rules came out and don't mention self-direction, and that there is a client asking about it. So there's not a specific increase to self-direction because self-direction is not a service, but the rule, the rate increase, it's an increase to the rate itself, and because we are increasing the rate for individual and family support and community living, I'm going to forget the exact term, because we're increasing the rate for those in-home personal care services that a person receives in our waivers, then those that are under self-direction, the rate increase also applies to self-direction in that you will be able to pay your worker more than the, I think it's $14 an hour maximum that you are able to pay now, because it can be billed at that higher rate. So again, to have the details on where you can, what is the rate you can increase up to, again, please reach out to your fiscal intermediary, Acumen or Morning Sun, and they can work through that process with you. Is the minimum rate for self-direction going to be a flat $9 per hour, or is it slightly off due to the payroll taxes, et cetera, that we pay? The minimum in self-direction is also $9 an hour. Those additional costs that you mentioned, the payroll taxes and whatnot, would be calculated on top of that $9 an hour. So the minimum base rate of pay for that worker is $9 an hour. Will families in self-direction have to complete a new rate sheet if they want to increase their workers' pay? And will a new show me the money sheet for self-direction be distributed so we can see the exact amount? Again, please do work with Acumen and Morning Sun. I know we have some folks from Medicaid on the line here that have been in communication with them because they oversee those contracts. And I'm sure we'll be planning to get you guys some additional information, but I don't have that available for this webinar today. And then again, what is the exact increase in the maximum after taxes and fees for self-direction? So again, work with your fiscal intermediary for that. There was a question about someone who's on the NOW, a parent of someone who's in the NOW waiver, and she heard that there was a letter that went out about pay increases for her workers. She said she never got the letter, but understand there's a time limit to get it filled out and return, and she wants to make sure her employees get the pay increase and would like for a callback. So we do not, there's no required timeline to fill anything out for LDH in regard to those folks that are in self-direction, and the self-direction agent should have sent the letter out to all employers, self-direction employers. So please do follow up with them. They may be asking for some additional information if you want a rate increase. So please do increase. Please do give your Acumen or Morning Sun a call, and they will be able to call you back and advise you on what needs to happen if you wish to increase your staff's rate of pay. All right. Yeah, so we've talked about most of those. You know, again, if you would like to adjust the budget specifically, so if you have a request that is outside of increasing the rate of pay for the worker, and if you have a need for more services, and those additional services that you need would then have an impact on your budget, you do need to talk with your support coordinator. Anything that will increase the number or amount of services that you currently have approved in the budget, you'll need to go to the support coordinator to discuss that, and a plan of care would have to be modified if you need those additional hours. So for the rate increase, if it's just the same number of hours, the same services, just looking at the rate increase, those are the things that are going to automatically be done. And then the final question we had was, will this be available for replay? And again, we do have the little recording button going. We are attempting to record it, and we will attempt to make this available on our OCDD website, but we have had some technical difficulties with getting that information out. It does look like there's still, you know, folks who have a lot of questions. We, again, you can, our web page is kind of long, but if you go and Google Louisiana Department of Health Office for Citizens with Developmental Disabilities, it will bring you to our OCDD web page. And we will work to try to make sure before the end of the day today, as soon as possible today, that we have the memo that what should have gone out to all of our traditional provider agencies and to our self-direction employers through Acumen or Morning Sun. So we will have that memo posted, which again really provides the information that I shared today, but it will also give you the specific information on the caps. And we will also work to post the Excel spreadsheet that details in each of the four waivers the specific service, what the old rate was, and what the new rate is, so that everybody has that information. The way that we normally get information out is we do not have email addresses for everyone in all of our provider agencies, and so we post through SRI's lasers or LASERS, I hear people call it those, portal. And that's the way we always get information out. So if you're a traditional provider agency and you did not receive the information, please do verify or check with whoever typically checks that portal. And if you're a family member in self-direction and did not receive it, then please do check with Acumen or Morning Sun. For the local governing entities and the support coordinators and agencies, we did distribute through our normal email process to you guys. And then anyone else who may be participating and listening in and doesn't have the information, again, please do visit our OCDD website by the end of the day today, and we will work to make sure that that is included there. Okay, so Bernard, anything else in closing?
No, we got a good bit of questions. Got about 37. So like Julie said, we'll try to, you know, compile those and group them and post them on the website as well with the other questions that we just went through in the presentation.
Yeah, these questions will be, yeah, included. We will, as he said, we will add the other, and we will, the other questions that we received, clarification questions that we received, to be able to include them. And if you are not, if you're calling in and not able to enter them into the Q&A, then you can always email us at OCDDinfo, that's OCDDINFO@LA.gov. And any of those questions will also be included included in our frequently asked questions document. So thank you everyone so much for calling in today. I hope this helped to clarify. I know we've gotten a lot of questions in the memo. It did mention that if you had questions about the rate specifically, that you could call Mr. Charles Ailes. He is here on the line as well. And I know several providers have reached out to him for specifics, but we've got so many questions that we wanted to just have an opportunity to try to clarify some of the things we're getting questions about that are sometimes hard to include in a memo. So I very much appreciate everyone. And, you know, again, we want to be as transparent as we can with this. We want to make sure that we are able to answer questions. Sometimes our answers might not be answers that you are looking for or answers that you want, but it is my goal to try to be as transparent as we can and honest and upfront with everyone as we can so that everybody has the information that they need. So thank you once again, and I hope everyone has a great rest of your day.